It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We check in on the record player industry in Wisconsin, designing new turntables to improve the listening experience for vinyl records. Call in with a question. Share comments. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kristen Griego is president and director of development and marketing for Soda Sound Inventions, LLC, headquartered in Delavan. Kristen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having us this morning.
So Soda produces locally made turntables ranging in price from around $1,500 to upward of $10,000. What sets Soda's turntables apart from competitors?
Well, our design goes back 40 years. We had a four-point spring suspension that was designed by a physicist out in Berkeley, California. And it really gets rid of footfalls, and everyone knows what happens when people start dancing or jumping around, or with the speakers, with bass, the stylus can move out of the groove. With a Soda turntable from the Heritage Series, it addresses that issue with the four-point spring suspension and keeps the needle in the record so that you have great sound regardless of what's happening acoustically or environmentally in the room.
So turntables, they can be categorized as suspended and non-suspended. And in your Cosmos Eclipse turntable is this, quote, ultimate suspension turntable. So what is different about these forms of record players?
Well, the average consumer turntable, it was interesting. I actually bought one out of a big box because I was curious how they could manufacture a turntable so cost-effectively, I guess, rather than using the word cheap. And then I dove into it and took it apart. And they used stamped goods, which are kind of flimsy. You can just barely tap on it, and it comes right through the record. It comes through the music. And all that interference smears and destroys what we're after, which is music. And so whenever an audiophile-grade turntable, it absolutely, it's dead quiet. The motor, we use thicker plinths, which is, and our materials are not cost effective. We use woods, we'll use phenolic resins, stainless aluminum, stainless steel, aluminum, a lot of different materials to ensure that the sound is amazing.
How many turntables are you turning out in a year?
We're a small company. We produce, on average, about 500 to 750, depending upon the economy. It's obviously more of a luxury good. But we've really been focusing on getting our dealer network to grow and get to where we're known. Back in the 80s, we were actually the only turntable in America, which is kind of an interesting fact.
Wow.
And with the boom of analog, and I think the next generation, the younger generation, is wanting something more tangible than just streaming and digital. And when you drop a needle down and you listen to an entire side of a record, it's a different experience than streaming and jumping around from song to song or soundbite to soundbite.
I wonder if it impacts you when we see, a resurgence in people buying vinyl, that impacts your manufacturing processes and your bottom line as well.
Well, it absolutely does. We saw this during COVID. The turntable business was actually booming in 2020 because people were home and working from home, and they started buying turntables like crazy. And vinyl, it's also the experience of trying to find the media. There's a lot of albums that you can't get in a digital format anymore. And so being able to find these limited pressings or the first pressings is kind of it's the search. You'll find people at flea markets on Saturday and Sunday going through the bins trying to find the media itself, which has obviously helped us.
The love of the search and the find. How do you go about building turntables? Just to walk us through the process a bit.
Well, at least when I took over the company 5 years ago in January of 2018, I had to learn a lot. We actually have an entire wood shop now where we do a farm to turntable plan. When there's a storm locally, like in Palmyra a few years back, I got a call, and we were able to harvest a lot of trees that were blown over. Oh. And from those, we saved them from turning into firewood, and we go to a local mill and have them mill the wood, and then we have it kiln dried. And then from there, we'll process the wood in-house and get it to our finished size. And so we do everything in-house on the woodworking side. And we have a CNC shop that does all the metalworking. And so it's an enormous amount of energy that goes into creating this. And we have a great team of artisans, you can call them, craftsmen. They're amazing people that have learned these crafts and trades so that we can produce these tables.
Farm to turntable, not farm to table, farm to turntable.
That's exactly it, yeah.
What have you done to streamline, to reduce waste streams in your products?
Well, when back in 2018, we did a lot of analysis on the current design, and they had materials that I wasn't fond of using. There was lead inside, which is not good. And so we're now lead-free. And in all of our turntables, they used to use weight and they would use lead BBs. And that's no longer. We use copper clad steel for counterweights and stainless steel when we need to have counterweights. We use phenolic resin, which is made out of recycled paper in the Pacific Northwest. And I'm very cognizant of our carbon footprint. And so if I can use recycled paper and it turns it into a really dense material that's great for absorbing vibrations, it improves the overall design while diminishing our carbon footprint. And same thing with the wood program. I'm always trying to source locally. And we went from 15, we had about 15 suppliers of our goods. We're down to one. It's us. And then we have our board spun here in the USA, and then they're put together in California.
Talking with Kristen Griego, Wisconsin Turntable Company, Soda Sound Inventions. You can join in. Questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kristen, I imagine it's like art and science coming together to build these turntables.
Absolutely.
Where do you find the craftspeople and the people who have the knowledge to build these pieces?
Well, we're trying, we have, if you can, a tier, and we have like Pete, who's been in house for 30 years, assembling. He knows everything about the historical all the way. And then that knowledge has to get passed down to the next generation, which will continue it on after Pete retires. And with the metal shop, we have a great plant foreman, Chris. We have Mark, who's amazing on the mill. And then we're always looking. So we have the next generation with Ben, who's learning from those two machinists. And he went to school locally, and right out of high school, he went to a tech college to learn. And at the same time, he was working for us. And he's now stayed on after college, and he's pursuing a career with us. And that's what we're having to do. We're looking for the next generation, and so that we don't run into issues down the road. We want to teach people how to make things, not just sit behind computers, which is not bad. But design is one aspect, and I love the design aspect. But being able to get your hands dirty and actually make something and look at it and know that you made it is amazing. It gives people an amazing feeling. And then when people come and pick up that turntable and listen to it in their house for 30 years, I mean, they're enjoying it in the work that goes into it.
And, you know, enjoying it for 30 years, you're also fixing these turntables as well. So you can kind of see the life cycle, I would imagine, of these products.
Oh, and we can see if there were ever any issues from 40 years ago, we know not to repeat history based upon what was made 40 years ago. But yes, people will buy these a lot of times, or I just had a call from the East Coast, and the father passed it down to the son, who is now restoring it up to the current specifications. And so that table will come in and we'll disassemble. And it's actually more work to do this, but we'll restore a table from 30, 40 years ago, and we'll take it completely apart, put it all back together with new components, new motors. If we need to, we'll replace bushings in the shafts inside, and they're off for another 30 or 40 years.
Wow. Knowledge transfer there, and employees, turntable transfer, and new generation. Jack in Madison has a question. Jack, hi.
Hi, good morning. So,
good morning.
First of all, I think what you're doing is pretty cool, building turntables in-house. in Wisconsin, and it's reminded me a lot of Les Paul and some of his work with recorded sound and creating the electric guitar and whatnot. And I was just curious as to how many groups or, you know, shops are there like yours that are, you know, producing turntables or doing stuff with recorded sound in Wisconsin that you could speak to?
Thank you for the question, Jack. Yeah, Kristen, go ahead.
So how many, I'm sorry, I missed just a little bit. How many groups are making turntables currently? Is that the question?
I think that definitely is a part of the question, yes.
So, I mean, there are different levels of production capacity. There will always be the person in the background that is making one turntable. And you can find these people on YouTube, and it's interesting to follow along and see their process. And then you'll have other companies that produce more for the masses and will produce like we do. But we're not considered a large company by any means with what we're doing.
Do you find any of your work proprietary or, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When it comes to the electronics, that's really where the magic happens. And we were able to partner up with Phoenix Engineering early on when they're in 2018. And we do things like we address the speed control at the thousandths. So most record players will be 33.3. Ours will go 33.333. And we're adjusting out to that third decimal point. And then there's an algorithm that's written to control the speed so that if there's any speed fluctuation with a belt drive turntable, there always will be some. It's addressing it over a window of like 2.5 seconds where the ear cannot audibly hear that. And a lot of turntables, they'll adjust the speed at that tenth, the first three. And so their speed control will go 33.3 or 4 or slow too, and then they'll adjust the speed and you can audibly hear that. And we're actually have some new designs that we're working on that push that speed control out to the fourth and fifth decimal point. And by doing that, it's amazing how clean and clear it sound is. And my goal ultimately with Soda is that you're not listening to analog, you're just listening to music. You're not aware of issues in the media or the speed control or anything, so that the music comes forward and the pressing, you can hear everything on the pressing.
Kristen Griego, president of Soda Turntables. It's based in Delavan. As we learn about the art and the business of turntable manufacturing, call in at any point with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the Recording Industry Association of America tracks resurgent growth in the vinyl record format in recent years, we meet a turntable manufacturer in Delavan and explore the industry of high-end record players. You can join the conversation. Call in with a question. Share insights at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kristen Griego is president of Soda Turntables. Let's bring in Todd in Vernon. Todd, hi.
Good morning. Great guest. I have a question. I purchased a mid-century modern 1958 Motorola Stereophonic Masterpiece. It's in halfway decent condition. It's beautiful, but the turntable doesn't work. It needs a new needle. It needs a little bit of work. The mechanism is a little irregular. But the question is, do I invest in resurrecting that turntable, or do I just put a different turntable and put your turntable in? And
well,
a follow-up question would be, you know, it's an old tube set. It smells so good when it's running. It just the whole ambiance. I'm now 60 years old, and my frequency response isn't so good. So I don't need all that high end stuff. Apparently, it's maybe lost on me. But anyhow, I just wanted to add that part that maybe my hearing's not up to the fidelity of maybe what you're producing.
Todd, thank you for bringing that question. Kristen, go ahead.
Well, I think the answer is yes on all fronts. You can never have too many turntables in your house. And I look at I look at certain aspects of this as a you have passion projects and then you have reality. I've restored turntables for the love of it and for the joy of it, replacing the cartridges. You don't have to go super high end to bring a turntable back to life. A lot of times you clean the belt and you just clean the assemblies up and you relube things and things will get back to where they're functional. They're never going to be up to new standards and you have to be okay with that. But you enjoy it for what it is and the experience. There are some local houses in Madison that actually do repair. You can search those out. One of them is our dealers. You can find it on sodaturntables.com and look under Madison area, and they actually can help you get the cartridge on there and probably restore that, and without a huge amount of cost. But for what you can hear as you age, yes, our hearing is diminished, but if you always are listening, you may not hear 20K anymore, but you can still hear the room. You can hear the energy and the sound. And I've known many people that are conductors in orchestras that as they get older, they still can hear and they understand where things, because it's a learned process of hearing.
And Todd mentions the smell of the tube set. What are you finding there?
Well, there's I believe it's ozone that can come off and off the old tubes, and so yeah, you'll experience that in the room. I actually run Doshi Audio in my master listening area where I've had the room engineered, and I have two channel in there, and there is a definite experience. There's also a definite warmth, which is nice in the wintertime, that will come off the amplification for tube.
We can hear the excitement in your voice and in your descriptions and your lifestyle. How do you build consumer excitement for new turntables?
Well, we do this a lot of times, one person at a time. We also do trade shows. We'll do Capital Audio Fest in Washington, D.C. We'll do Axpona, which is right in Chicago. And there's like 360 rooms of audio, and it's unbelievable. But we also have Adagio in Elkhorn, which we have our showroom upstairs. And so people are more than welcome. If they email us at sales@sodaturntables.com, we will do tours when people are visiting Lake Geneva. We're only 20 minutes away from Lake Geneva. And we'll do factory tours on Friday. And then we'll do listening sessions at Adagio. And we're trying to share the experience. Last month, I just went to Chicago Audio Society and took a couple turntables, and we hooked them up to an amazing little low wattage 8-watt tube amp with some amazing speakers that were designed by a local maker there. And we had 30 or 40 people listening to music for 3 hours. It's amazing. It's great.
Some businesses feel these inflationary pressures. They feel supply chain issues, not being able to get certain pieces and parts. Do you find fluctuations in your industry like that?
Oh, absolutely. Metal costs, as everyone knows, have soared. In our platters, we start with 12.125 inches in aluminum, and then we machine it down to just under 12 inches, 11.998 to be exact. But these materials were coming from overseas, and even with the Ukraine war that was happening, one of our suppliers at that time was in that region. And so we had to, we stocked up with about 2 to 3 years worth of platter material to be safe until we could find another supplier. And we did, but we're always cognizant of these things. And we're always studying the metal market with our machine shop. The prices of brass has more than doubled in the last 4 years. It's gone kind of crazy. And so that does go into the cost. And everyone knows when they go to the grocery store it's getting more and more expensive. And so we try and take care of our employees so that and that is all built into the price. So when people buy a turntable, I'm very thankful, not just that they're going to enjoy sound, but for our employees so they can continue to live a decent lifestyle.
Kristen Griego is the president of Soda Sound Inventions. As we talk about the life and times of turntable manufacturing, you can join in questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Why is the company based in Delavan?
Well, it's interesting. The company has gone through multiple changes. It started in Oakland, California, and then it was sold during the digital age, and it moved to Chicago, then to Worth, and then DeKalb, and then to Delavan. Honestly, I think with the workers in Wisconsin, they're hardworking people, they're amazing people, and being able to have everything under one house, having the machine shop, the wood shop, assembly all in one area was the ultimate goal. And so that when we were early on in talks, seeing what was happening and how we could streamline things, that was the most important thing. I've never wanted to be an assembly house. A lot of companies outsource everything and they'll go to the cheapest supplier. That's not our goal. Our goal is to make the ultimate turntable and be, and SOTA stands for state of the art, which is important to me. When your brand is SOTA, state of the art, you have to do everything to do that. And that's what we're pushing for.
In our final moments here, how could Wisconsin improve its business climate? How could our state become a more welcoming place for businesses like yours?
Well, I mean, that's a political question. And I think the tax laws benefiting the small business people. So it's amazing that small business is determined as 500 employees or less. Well, you know, for a company like SOTA or in most companies, 500 is huge to have 500 employees. So I think that the business climate, and I think entrepreneurship should be promoted and explained to people at a young age so they understand why entrepreneurship is good. And I think that we're pushing forward with that, and by trying to teach people how to build things in-house. One of my machinists currently made some Halloween decorations and sold them on Etsy. And it's encouraged because entrepreneurship, I think, is at the heart of being American.
Kristen, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having. We really appreciate it.
Kristen Griego, President and Director of Development and Marketing for SOTA Sound Inventions, headquartered in Delavan. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.